In 1980, two Irish soldiers serving with the United Nations, Private Derek Smallhorn from Dublin and Thomas Barrett from Cork, were tortured and shot dead after being abducted by the South Lebanon Army and Israeli-backed militia. Another soldier, John O'Mahony from Kerry, survived. He alleges the man who shot him and his colleagues now lives in the US. That man, Mahmoud Bazzi, has applied for US citizenship. This has reignited a campaign which is growing support on both sides of the Atlantic. Its central demand is for Mr. Bazzi to be deported to Lebanon and be tried for war crimes. Dermot Fleming reports.
On parade in Dublin city centre yesterday, and a march not just to honour two fallen Irish soldiers, but also to call for their alleged killer to be brought to justice, 34 years after they died. Just walking past the US Embassy here, and there are hundreds of former Irish Army personnel and ex-service people from other nations too, many sporting the light blue berets of former UN peacekeeping missions. People have come from far and wide for this vigil today, which is an indication of the support that this campaign is gathering again after 34 years. Among the former comrades and relatives of the dead men gathered in Dublin was John O'Mahony from Killarney. He was serving with the two men when they were taken and was shot himself that day. They were attacked, he says, after a South Lebanon Army militiaman, one of the Bazzi family, was killed earlier that month in an exchange of gunfire with UN forces, in which another Irish soldier, Private Stephen Griffin, also died.
On the day, they had set up an ambush along the road, and they took myself and Tom Barrett and Derek Smallhorn to an old school, plus some of the Americans that were with us, and a Finch journalist and a Finch captain. But they were looking only for Irish, for a revenge shooting, and we happened to fall into the family of the Bazzi family, who had that motive out to capture the Irish and kill them and shoot them.
John O'Mahony recalls that Thomas Barrett, only days before he was due to return home to Cork, had a premonition of disaster.
At the depot where we picked up our transport, myself and Tam sat into one of the vehicles. Tam started to write a letter to his wife at home in Ireland, Imlay, and he was very emotional. He was crying, you know, and he said, I think I'm not going to go home alive, he said.
And why did he know he was in such danger, do you think, or why did you feel in such danger at the time?
Well, we were well aware of the situation, and Tom had been out previous to this, and he knew the tit-for-tat was going on, you know, for the death of a family member that believed in an eye for an eye. And Tom understood that if we did fall into their hands, we were not going to survive.
Steve Hindy, who was an American journalist, was travelling with the convoy when they were abducted and taken to an empty school building. He says a man called Mahmoud Bazzi was the leader of their captors.
The leader of this group that abducted us was shouting that he was there because of his brother and what had happened to his brother. And he was extremely emotional. The militiamen were holding guns to our heads and demanding to know our nationalities. They took the Irishman away out of the toilet, down a hallway and down a stairway off that hallway. And then the shooting began.
Mohammed Bazzi picked us out and he marched us a gunpoint out of the school, and we went up steps and we went down another flight of stairs, and halfway down the flight of stairs he opened fire, and as I was nearest on the left side of the wall, I was the first to be hit, and the two boys made a bolt for it around the turn on the stairs, and I fell to the ground, and as I fell to the ground, he fired at me again, and he shot me a second time.
Steve Hindy says other more senior militiamen arrived, giving the UN group hope they'd intervene to calm the situation. Instead, he saw them taking the two Irish soldiers away, an image which has haunted him ever since.
I recall seeing one of the Irishmen, I believe it was Barrett, craning his neck in the back seat, and looking out the back window at us with a look of frozen fear on his face. And that was the last we saw of Smallhorn and Barrett.
The men's bodies were found shortly afterwards. They'd been tortured and shot. The news shocked the world.
The UN Security Council condemned the barbaric and cold-blooded murder of two Irish soldiers, and it reaffirmed its determination.
Back in Cork, Emily Barrett said she'd been told her husband was missing that day before learning he was dead from an army officer who burst in just as she was about to turn on the news.
And next to 9 o'clock, news was coming on. And next we heard a screech of a break, and the officer ran in and said, "Turn off that television." And then we were told.
How has life been for you since the tragedy?
Well, being quite honest, if I didn't have my 3 daughters, I don't know where I'd have been. So I kind of grew up with them. I was 29 years old when this happened. And I kind of grew up with my daughters. They were my life and still are my life. You know, we were a very devoted family. My husband was a brilliant man, brilliant father, brilliant husband. Like, on his leave, he would go, like, potato picking. He worked in a fish and chip shop because the money was small in the army, and like to bring in extra for his family. That was the kind of man he was. You know, a thorough gentleman. Like, he was devoted to us, and we were devoted to him. And we're still devoted to him today, like.
Mr. Bazzi ended up in America not long after the shootings, after telling Lebanese media he was responsible in revenge for his brother's killing by UN forces. 14 years ago, RTE primetime reporter Fiona McCarthy caught up with him in Detroit, where he lives today in his early 70s. He said his admission of the killings in 1980 was a lie, made under pressure from militia leader Major Haddad, and says he was not responsible, a position he maintains today.
I was used as a decoy. They were at the school and I was with them. Then they took them, but I didn't know anything. 2 members of the UN forces were killed. After that, Saad Haddad and others came to me and said that I must go to TV and say that I killed them to avenge the death of my brother, and so no one would talk about it anymore.
So you didn't do it? You're saying that you did not do it?
No, I went to TV as they told me. I didn't want to do it, but I knew that if I didn't do it, they would have killed me.
The Barrett family say they had to fight for compensation from the Irish authorities and feel hurt and angered that they were asked to leave their army barracks accommodation just 6 weeks after Thomas was shot dead. Since then, they and the Smallhorns have lived with the pain of loss, their demands for justice unheard. But when Mahmoud Bazzi recently applied for US citizenship, Steve Hindy, who now runs the Brooklyn Brewing Company, wrote a piece for Vice News, reigniting the case. He says he's been interviewed by US officials himself about Mr. Bazzi since the RTE primetime documentary of 14 years ago, but has been given no information on the case.
Even if nothing was going to happen to Bazzi, I wanted it on the record that this incident had happened. I don't think Mr. Bazzi deserves to become an American citizen, given his participation and complicity in what was essentially a war crime there in Lebanon 34 years ago.
The campaign organized by former comrades of the dead men wants Mahmoud Bazzi to be deported from the US to Lebanon to face justice, says one of the organizers, Robbie Masterson, who served in Lebanon at the time of the killings.
We feel it's an incredible situation that this man could have lived out his life in the United States for many, many years, apparently with impunity and immunity from prosecution. All we can do is keep the pressure on, keep our presence there, and make sure that the United States authorities know that we're not going away, that we're here to ensure that they act on this.
As the lines of marching veterans file past the US Embassy, where they held a short vigil, Private Barrett's eldest daughter, Karen, who was just 6 at the time her father died, says the campaign is giving her family renewed heart after decades of silence.
Delighted there's been so much support, and delighted so many men have turned up to say that Derek and my dad won't be forgotten, and that justice will be served for Derek, my dad, and for John as well. Hopefully we'll get the answers and the justice we deserve.
The US authorities told this programme they would not comment on the case or even confirm or deny an investigation into Mr. Bazzi. But an official pointed out that US authorities actively investigate people who do not disclose aspects of their past, which might influence a decision on US citizenship, such as involvement in alleged war crimes. In a statement to this programme, the Taoiseach Enda Kenny said that all legal avenues had been looked at, but it was not possible to launch a prosecution in Ireland. He said the case was not forgotten and would continue to be actively pursued with the American authorities, so that the families involved can get the justice they deserve.